and everybody. They sent out a big email to all of Georgia Mid-South, letting them know, hey, it's going to be a great time. So really excited about what those guys are doing there. It's really encouraged. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 this morning. But before we go there, I want to share a correction from last week when I did a lesson on Solomon about asking for the right thing. And Solomon, you know, he said that, you know, God, your people, they are great people. And I put it in the context of God's people are great people. And yes, you know, even though we have our flaws, God, look at us, we can be great people. But the context there was Solomon was addressing that there was a lot of people to service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a numerous people to service. So I wanted to make sure I correct that. And when I thought about correcting that, get some advice on that, the scripture came to my mind was 1 Timothy 4:16. It says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Amen. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen. And I thought, amen. You know, definitely want to make sure I do my best for God and do my best for you guys here serving this church. So, amen. Wanted to make sure that's out there. And we're going to move forward. We're starting a 6-week sermon series, which me, Donald, and Scott will share the load on this. And it's about disciples who are worth imitating. And, you know, you look at some disciples, you think, ooh, yeah, some of them were worth imitating. Some of them, it wasn't so good at some point in time. But I have the privilege of talking about Peter. And we're going to talk about Peter's boldness and Peter's repentance. You know, I feel like both of those things were going there. And then we're going to talk about a moment that changed a man, changed Peter. So Peter was not born bold. He was shaped bold. He was shaped by failure, shaped by fear, shaped by sinking, shaped by denying, and shaped by being restored.
Amen.
Boldness didn't come from his personality. It came from his repentance.
Amen.
Before Peter ever stood up to preach, he had to fall down and he had to weep. Before he ever spoke out, he had to break down and confess. Before he ever stepped out, he had to be lifted up by Jesus.
Amen.
Boldness is not the absence of weakness. Amen. It is the presence of repentance. In Acts 2:14, it says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. You see, what's happening here is that this is not the same Peter who hid by the fire. This is not the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. This is not the same Peter who ran from the servant girl. This is a different Peter here. This is a repentant Peter. This is a Peter being bold. You see, repentance, it should lift you. Repentance should restore you. Repentance should give you a spine where fear once lived. Boldness begins when you stop hiding behind sin, shame, excuses, and spiritual apathy. Repentance is the courage to stand up again. And this is what we're going to see here in Peter over in Acts chapter 2 and 2:14. You know, some of us aren't standing. It's because some of us haven't surrendered. And when we can surrender to God, we can do like Peter. We can stand up and speak out. So we're going to do a long read here. So as we see Peter here, you know, of course, they're being questioned, thinking that these guys are drunk or something. But Peter is standing up. He's repenting. He's being bold. And Peter's going to preach this magnificent message. And picking up in verse 15, he says, these people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people meaning your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at the right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven and yet said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Wow. Long read there. But what we got to see in Peter's boldness is that Peter stepped up. That Peter stood up to address the accusations that these guys must be drunk. It takes boldness to stand up in a large crowd of people to say, hey, this is not what's happening here. Let me clear some things up. He gives them a history lesson. He says, let's go back to what Joel said. He gives them another history lesson. Let's go back to what David said. Mm-hmm. And then he tells them, let me remind you what happened and that you played a part in it. He tells them that they aligned themselves with wicked men and crucified Jesus. You know, Peter, he stood up and he spoke up. When Peter stood up, he didn't whisper.
No.
When we proclaim the good news in the gospel, we shouldn't be whispering either.
That's right.
We should speak that our voices are heard. He didn't whisper. He doesn't apologize for what's going on there. He doesn't soften the message. He declares the truth about Jesus in his message, the truth about sin, the truth about the cross, the truth about judgment, and the truth about salvation. Those are things we should be doing ourselves and imitating.
Yeah.
That's the type of boldness we should be embracing.
Yes.
We should be declaring those same things when we have conversations with people. We should be declaring the truth about Jesus, about the deadliness of sin, about the power of the cross, about the judgments that's to come, and about how wonderful salvation is. We should be declaring that. You know, repentance gives you a voice.
That's right.
That's what it gave Peter. Do you know that Peter could have stayed there weeping by the fire? You know that Peter could have ran off and never did nothing, kept going back fishing, and never listened to a word that Jesus said when Jesus sat down with him and said, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Mm-hmm. He said, "If so, feed my sheep." Mm-hmm. Peter could have just stayed there, stayed stuck, but he didn't. Peter shows the example of what repentance looks like and what boldness looks like. That I'm going to trust the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to step out and do the work that the Lord gave me. Repentance gives you clarity.
Yeah.
Repentance gives you conviction. Repentance gives you courage to speak what God says, even when it cuts. Boldness is not volume. It's just truth without compromise. That's all it is. You know, some of us have lost our voice because we've lost our repentance. You know, we've been around for a while. We can get comfortable.
That's right.
And I done dealt with that. It's okay. But you know, sin is always sitting there. I'm reminded of what God said to Cain. You know, sin is crouching at your door. But you must master it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When he says it's crouching at your door, it don't mean it never left. It's just waiting for an opportunity to get back in.
Right.
That's all it's doing. Mm-hmm. And when we let sin back in, we lose our voice to be bold. We need to embrace repentance so we can regain our voice and become bold like Peter.
Amen.
Speak with such conviction and boldness so we can preach like Peter. Peter preached powerfully that day. Preached very powerfully that day.
Yeah.
So that we can share like Peter. Share the good news, even if it cuts, even if it cuts. You know, Peter stepped out. And when you step out, boldness tends to make you move. Turn me over to Matthew 28. Look at another thing about Peter and his boldness. You know, Peter had this character about him, about just being bold and just, I'm willing to take a chance. You know, we know disciples like that among our fellowship. I think boldness is available to all of us, as far as God has made it clear.
That's right.
Some of us are just more quick to say, I'll take that leap. Right. And some of us are like, I don't know, Lord. We need to talk about this. I need to count the cost on this. But in Matthew 14, verse 28, and this is because when Peter and them out in the boat, and the Lord's coming to them, and, walking on the water. And Peter, of course, being Peter, I'm going to be bold and ask the question. And in verse 28, he says, "Lord, if it's you." I'm not sure it's you, Lord, but I think it's you in the water. Peter replied, "Tell me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Wow. This is Peter stepping out. So Peter steps out the boat, not because he is confident, but because he has surrendered to Jesus. He asked Jesus, he said, "If it's you, tell me to come to you, and I will respond." Boldness is movement. Boldness is action. Boldness is stepping out the boat of comfort. Mm-hmm. Stepping out the boat of sin. Stepping out the boat of fear. Stepping out the boat of self-reliance.
Yeah.
When Peter stepped out that boat and asked to step out that boat, he knew he was relying on Jesus.
Yeah.
Think about it. He knew. He's seen the things that Jesus had done. He knew of Jesus' work because he was with him. He's like, "Well, if it's you, tell me to come to you." Peter was aware that no man can walk on water. This is just not normal. This is not common. But I've seen the work that Jesus does. And I know that with Jesus, anything's possible.
Right.
So I'm going to call Jesus out. If it's you, you tell me to come to you. That's bold. That's boldness. You know, boldness is not waiting for the perfect conditions. It's obeying God immediately.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus say? Come. And what did Peter do? He obeyed immediately. got out the boat and started walking. But in verse 30, we do have our moments.
Uh-oh.
He says, but when he saw the wind, you know, when you take your eyes off Jesus, things tend to happen. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? So Peter went from being bold, having this bold moment there with God, responding to God. But then he got distracted and started looking at other things, took his eyes off God. And when he did that, what happened? Peter sinks, Peter panics, Peter fails. We have moments like that.
Yeah.
When we're not focused on Jesus. When we're not focused on God. We begin to sink in all of life's mess. And everything that's happening in life, it just becomes overwhelming. And when it becomes so great, we begin to, like Peter, we panic. You know? And then we realize we're having our moment of failure, like Peter, because we stopped focusing on Jesus. We stopped following Jesus. We stopped hearing God's voice. And we started listening to the world around us. But God is amazing. You see, yes. Jesus, he grabs him. That's right. Even though Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he grabs Peter when Peter cried out to Jesus. He doesn't shame Peter, but he shapes him. Repentance is not pretending you didn't fail at something. It is bringing your failure to Jesus.
Amen.
Boldness grows in the soil of repentance. Peter's greatest boldness came after his greatest failure. You have to realize that your failures are not final. Sometimes we feel like we failed at something horribly. Or we feel like, that's it. This is who I am. This is my identity. This is what I'm going to be always known as. Your failure is not your final. It's only that way unless you refuse to repent.
Yes.
Or change. Yep. Or refuse to get up like Peter and say, you know what? There's work still for me to do.
Amen.
Let me move forward. Going back over to Acts chapter 2, we're going to talk about the response of the crowd. Peter has preached this amazing message. It is so powerful. He addresses the crowd because the crowd is confused. They don't understand what's going on here. To them, they're like, oh, they're just drunk people. They're just drunk, whatever. But Peter, with such great conviction, he embraces his role that God has given him. What role did God give him? I'm giving him the keys, what? The keys to the church. There you go, amen. He said, I'm giving you the keys. He could have never used those keys. Peter could have just dwelt on all his failures and never used those keys. But Peter was such a great example of what a repentant heart looks like and what boldness looks like. Got up, preached a powerful message, and began to put those keys to work. In verse 37, after Peter preached this great message, it says, when the people heard this message that Peter preached, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of moving message we want to put out there.
Yes.
We want a message that moves people to say, man, what should I do, Sydney? What should I do? We want a message like that. You see, Peter's bold preaching produced conviction in that moment. Conviction produced repentance. Repentance produced salvation. And salvation produced boldness. You see, the people were convicted by the message. And that conviction produced repentance. They're like, brother, what should we do? We want to change. You know, and that repentance, it produced salvation. They're looking for the salvation that Peter is trying to bring to them. And that salvation produced boldness. Repentance is not punishment. We should never look at it that way. It is an invitation.
That's right.
Repentance is not God's anger.
No.
It is God's mercy. Right. And repentance is not the end. It is the beginning of a wonderful journey toward salvation. And so Peter responds to them in verse 38 with a bold call to repentance. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Repentance is the doorway, man, to something magnificent. Boldness, freedom, clarity, purpose, power, transformation. Repentance would never be a one-time event in our lives.
No, right?
Nope. It is a lifestyle. And we have to look at it that way, and we have to embrace it that way. It is a lifestyle. Repentance is for God's people.
Yes.
That's who it's for us, God's people. And repentance is never shame. No, it is surrender. You know, we have to ask ourselves, if there is sin that we've been hiding, if there is obedience we've been delaying, if there is fear we have been feeding, if there is compromise we've been protecting, today is our day.
Amen.
To repent. Today is our day to rise up. Today is our day to be bold and to simply obey God. Today is our day. You know, after Peter preached this and Peter told them what they need to do, you know, they continued on with more preaching and more studying, because the scripture says that they continued to warn them with many more words. He just didn't preach a great message. Say, hey, okay, repent, be baptized. And then said, go on your way. No, it said with many more words, they warned them and preached them. Mm-hmm. That's what boldness looks like. That's taking care of people. Mm-hmm. Just not getting them all excited about the main message, but like, okay, we got to continue to warn them, because sin doesn't stop. As I said earlier, sin is always sitting there crouching.
Yes. That's
right. We've got to continue to warn them. We've got to continue to love them. We've got to continue to build them up. We've got to continue to give them the tools and the resources that they need to be effective in their walk with God. Mm-hmm. You know, boldness looks like love. We have to love people enough to continue to stay with them.
Amen.
You know, Peter and preached such a powerful message that we know the story that, man, they stayed there. They broke bread together. They met needs where needs were met. That's a part of discipleship. They met needs where needs needed to be met, man. People were excited and full of joy. You see, when we do the work that God calls us to do, and we do it God's way, not our way, not what I think is best, but what God says is best, the outcome will always be successful. Some things we can learn from Peter is this, is that when Peter was called to stand up, guess what he did? He stood up. Boldness for us begins with us not hiding. We have to stop hiding.
Yeah.
We got to get out there. Something we learned from Peter too is that Peter spoke out. Peter had a message that God said needed to be delivered. He right. didn't keep it to himself.
Right.
He didn't keep it hidden in. Peter put it out there. When the opportunity presented itself, he said, okay, let's address the issue. You know, truth must be declared. That's what we have to understand. Truth must be declared, not whispered.
That's right.
You know, Peter, not only did he stand up, not only did he speak out, but he stepped out.
Right.
Faith requires movement.
That's right.
Amen.
We can't stay, okay, Lord, yeah, okay, Lord. No, faith requires movement.
Right.
And Peter failed forward. He did not allow his failure to define him. But he built on that failure. He learned from that failure. Boldness grows through our mistakes.
Right.
Do not allow your mistakes to define you. Do not allow your mistakes to cripple you. Your boldness grows when you learn from your mistakes. Boldness is about saying what God says, not what you say.
Right.
Boldness is about doing what God calls, not what you call for.
Right.
Boldness is about moving when God prompts, not when you think you should move. Today, let's open our hearts and let conviction do its work.
Amen.
Today is our day to be like Peter, to be bold. Today is our day to be like Peter, to repent. Today is our day to be like the one that God gave the keys to.
Amen.
I want you to think about this in closing. When you have time alone with the Lord, ask the Lord to cut you to the heart. Sometimes we just need to be bold with God. Say, God, you know what? Cut me to the heart because I need it. This is where I'm at. God, expose what is hidden because I'm trying to hide things from you and I know you can see it, but you need to expose it.
Yes.
God, break what is hardened in my heart. Clean what is unclean. Forgive what is sinful and make me bold enough to obey you, Lord, as you desire. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory, guys. Thank you so much.
Amen.